And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by Melissa Gott and the amazing team over at The Law Group. Visit them online, lawgroupnc.com. Or give them a call, 910-251-6088. More from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, T-minus one day until municipal election day across not only the state of North Carolina, but the country as well. Some gubernatorial elections taking place. You've got what's going on in Virginia, New Jersey, a big mayor race in New York City. And of course, what we've got going on here across North Carolina, where many municipalities, almost all of them, will have election day heading their way tomorrow. The polls will open at 6:30 tomorrow morning and will run through 7:30 p.m. tomorrow night for individuals to cast their ballots in those local elections. I'm going to be doing a live stream tomorrow night with some election results. That'll start sometime probably between 8 and 8:30. So if you are a podcast listener and listening to this after the fact, make sure you check out our live channels, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, I should say, tomorrow night, sometime between 8, 8:30. We'll look at election results for a couple of hours and keep track of what is going on. Some big elections taking place in Charlotte as well. Of course, they have been getting an incredible amount of national news over the last couple of months. So we'll be watching all of that for you coming up tomorrow night. However, as we talk about elections, an interesting story breaking on Friday morning here across southeastern North Carolina. The city of Wilmington, as an alleged pay-for-vote or cash-for-vote scheme, has been reported to the North Carolina State Board of Elections, and it has caused a very interesting reaction across the state of North Carolina in political circles, both Democrat and Republican, both statewide and locally. I've got the story over at carolinajournal.com as this alleged cash-for-vote scheme has been turned over to the NCSBE. So this is what would happen. This is what went on. A New Hanover County voter submitted a tip to the North Carolina Republican Party. They've got some sort of voter integrity hotline or text message system or email system, something where voters across the state can report issues, whether they're having those with voting or things leading up to voting. They can report those issues to the state Republican Party, who has their team kind of go through some of the details and figure out what exactly is going on. And the vote here, the thing at question here, is some text messages that were coming up in the municipal elections here in Wilmington. And this is the back and forth redacted text message exchange that was reportedly handed from a voter in New Hanover County to the North Carolina Republican Party, then passed to the State Board of Elections. And the text messages read as follows. Hey, blank, and I have not seen the unredacted text messages. According to the state Republican Party, the only group that has those are, of course, the individual that received the text message, the individual, the party itself, and the State Board of Elections. Hey, blank. Just following up on our conversation from the No Kings protest. Just a heads up that the Wilmington City Council election is coming up soon. Three Democrat candidates on the ballot are blank, blank, and blank. You can read about all of the candidates and find voting details on the New Hanover County Board of Elections website with the link to elections.nhc.gov. Each candidate will pay you $100 for your vote. Very interesting. The person who got this text responded back, how do I get paid? I can't afford my electric bill. How long till I get the money after I vote? Can you do a direct deposit or does it get mailed? The individual in this responded saying, after you vote, one of our team members will meet you in her car near your polling place and pay you cash money. We can arrange transportation if needed. The person then sending these text messages follows up a couple of more times saying that each candidate will pay you $100. So this is the text message exchange that was forwarded to the state Republican Party, then given to the North Carolina State Board of Elections for them to conduct an investigation. We'll get into some of the comments, some interesting commentary from both Democrats and Republicans. But my initial impression and thought of this is the reason that things are investigated. And there's a lot, predominantly, surprise, surprise, on the political left, a lot of individuals throwing water at this story saying this is complete BS, this is made up, it's not true. That could be the case, sure. But this is why you investigate things. This is why information is transmitted to the North Carolina State Board of Elections for them to determine whether this is something that is true, or as the chair of the local Democrat Party and Jill Hotman said, or it's a farce. I mean, it could be either or. But again, this is why you investigate things. This is why individuals have the ability to report information to either their local Republican or Democrat party or the state Republican and Democrat party. That's why many of them have these anonymous tip lines. And you'll see when you go out to vote, if you're voting for a Democrat or a Republican, many times they'll say, if you have issues voting, call this number. And they work through issues with voters. This is a relatively normal process that is followed. And throughout, I guarantee you tomorrow, somebody is going to try and show up voting. They're going to have an issue. They will call some hotline for the Democrat or Republican party, talk through with a volunteer or an employee of one of the parties and figure out what's going on. Maybe they're not registered. Maybe they don't live in the municipality. Maybe there's an issue with their voter registration. I mean, this is a pretty typical process, and this is what is followed. So in the immediate aftermath or reaction to this, the state Republican Party, Jason Simmons, who is the chairman there, released a statement and said, quote, this is troubling. An allegation of paying a voter and attempting to buy votes in an election is an affront to our shared values. We remain steadfast in our commitment to the integrity of honest elections and will continue to work diligently to keep North Carolina elections fair, free, honest, and transparent. The local Republican Party, the New Hanover County GOP, that is led by John Hinnant, who is the chairman there, released this statement on Friday saying, quote, we take these allegations very seriously. The voter who received this message did the right thing and reported it to the Election Integrity Hotline. For voters, if you see something, say something. And remember, it is a violation to take a photograph inside of a polling place, which is something that I will pass along and good comments here from Chairman John Hinnant. It is, in fact, a crime in North Carolina to take a picture of your ballot. And this text message exchange is the reason why. One of the reasons, and a lot of folks are kind of can get kind of ticked off with the fact that it is technically illegal to take a photo of your ballot or inside of a polling place of your ballot, is because of this issue. If you have a group that is willing to pay you for your vote, well, the only way to verify that you are voting the right way, the only way to verify that you are doing what you are being asked to do for money, which is highly, highly illegal, would of course be to take a picture. So we've got state law that is, currently being challenged in court, but this is the reason why. It is to try and hold off and try and stop any sort of pay-for-vote, cash-for-vote schemes that could exist. While inherently for regular everyday voters who have no interest in taking any money for their votes, they can find it frustrating that they can't take a picture of their ballot, that ballot selfies are illegal, but this in part is the reason why. So the statement goes on from John Hinnant, the chair of the New Hanover County Republican Party. Republican voters in the city of Wilmington need to remember the words of our president. You need to turn out big in numbers and swamp the vote. Make it too big to rig. If Republicans show up and vote for Republicans, we can stop the decline of our city that will soon resemble San Francisco or Charlotte. The Democrat supermajority on the city council has governed over a massive increase in property crime and the degradation of our amazing police department. It's so bad that in a survey, 85% of officers said that they would not recommend the city as a place of employment. So that was the reaction from the North Carolina or the New Hanover County Republican Party, the chairman there, John Hinnant, releasing that statement. The Democrat Party also chiming in on this as well. Jill Hotman, who is the chair there, put out this statement and said, quote, "The New Hanover County Democrat Party is fully committed to free, fair, and secure elections and believes anyone trying to purchase votes should be prosecuted. That said, let's be clear about the facts here. One well-known local MAGA activist received a text message from an anonymous, untraceable number not affiliated with any candidate or party, with nothing to suggest that it's indicative of a widespread scheme. Unfortunately, instead of waiting for the North Carolina Board of Elections to investigate this farce, the NCGOP is trying to turn this into a sensationalized circus to change the subject from their communication director being caught threatening journalists with retaliation yesterday," linking to a story from rawstory.com. "Worse, the NHC GOP chair already admitted in writing that he knows exactly who filed this dubious complaint, a Trump 47 volunteer who he, quote, trusts as far as he can throw. When the New Hanover County Democrat Party learned about this accusation 3 days ago, we offered to help get to the bottom of it and disavow any alleged election fraud. Instead, the North Carolina Republican Party orchestrated this fear-mongering performance, which underscores their extremism and desperation mere days before Election Day." Pretty interesting statement coming in from the Democrat Party. And you know, just a couple of questions right off the top. The chair here, and Jill Hotman, says that only one person received this text message. And my question to her is a pretty simple one. How do you know that that's the fact? How do you know that that's the case? I mean, there was one person that reported it to the North Carolina Republican Party. But unless Jill Hotman was sending these text messages herself, which I don't believe was the case, how could anybody possibly know that only one text message was sent? And let's be perfectly honest and clear about what's going on here. This is an illegal vote for cash scheme that was that is being alleged to be taking place in New Hanover County. If you were somebody that was taking advantage of this and collecting $100 per candidate, you would obviously not report this to either the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, the Sheriff's Department, the North Carolina State Board of Elections. You would obviously not report this if you were, in fact, enriching yourself, taking advantage of this scheme. Talking about how it is a well-known local MAGA activist who received the text message. Again, the text message exchange that I received is heavily redacted, blocking out all names of the Democrat candidates who are mentioned, the individual who is mentioned themselves by name, where it says, hey, blank, just following up on our conversation from the No Kings protest. I am unclear how anybody, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, the State Board of Elections, hell, the State Bureau of Investigation, the Sheriff's Department, the there is no way that anybody at this point in time could know whether this was the only text message sent. There is absolutely no way to know that at this point. Yet you've got the Democrat Party, in the case here, the local chair of the New Hanover County Democrat Party, saying that just one person received this text message, which I don't know how at this point in time anybody could know that for sure. Again, could this be a completely made up claim? Could these be manufactured screenshots or manufactured text messages? Absolutely. Could they be? Sure. Could this also be a real pay for vote scheme taking place in New Hanover County? Yes, absolutely. Both of those things can be true. And it's exactly why I would imagine the Republican Party in North Carolina submitted these allegations, submitted this information to the State Board of Elections for them to begin an investigation. Again, that's the process that you would follow. Because unlike what the local Democrat Party is saying, they have no way to know whether one person received this text message or not. The claim is that it's coming from want to make sure I get my quoting accurate on this, received this from an anonymous, untraceable number. I don't know how the numbers know. Again, the only people that have the unredacted text message, you're looking at the redacted version. The only people that have the unredacted message are the North Carolina Republican Party and the State Board of Elections, and then obviously the individual who received it. So I don't know how any of this alleged fact that is being made in the statement from the local Democrat Party is fact. I don't know how any of that information could be available at this time with the information that we have publicly available. Now, it's possible that behind the scenes, both parties have been clued in. Sure, there's a possibility of that, but I don't know how they'd know the person's name, and I don't know how they'd know that the number was untraceable. And let's be perfectly honest about this. If you were running a highly illegal vote for a cash for vote scheme, you would absolutely use some sort of burner, untraceable phone number, whether that be a Google Voice phone number. There's plenty of apps that you can download on a smartphone to get a what is called a burner cell phone number. You can go online and purchase these numbers for pennies on the dollar through any major SMS or a phone number gateway provider. There are a plethora of ways in which, if you wanted to run a scheme like this, you could use a number that would be very hard to trace. Now, would this be traceable? Sure. I mean, if you got the FBI involved, if you got the federal authorities and the cell phone providers involved in all of this, you could trace and figure that out. The question is, does the state of North Carolina, more specifically the North Carolina State Board of Elections, do they have the ability to do that? Do they have the technical resources to get this information? I mean, they're not a law enforcement agency, so I don't think the state board has the ability to subpoena, you know, AT&T or Verizon or all of the other major providers to get potentially more information about this text message. But you would expect, if you were running a highly illegal cash for vote scheme, that you would use some sort of not easily traceable phone number. You probably, and again, not involved in this, but I would assume you wouldn't use your personal cell phone number. I would assume that you would use something that, if this did happen, where it was reported to some level of authority, you would be able to distance yourself from it. You would be able to not say, oh crap, this is my real cell phone number. This is a legitimate phone number that I'm using to send out these text messages saying to people, hey, if you vote for these three candidates, we'll pay you $100 a pop. Right? So that part makes a lot of sense. I just don't understand I don't know how some of this other information is allegedly available to the North Carolina, or to the New Hanover County Democrat Party. A couple of Democrat candidates said that they had no knowledge or involvement in the text messages. A comment from one Democrat running for city council, including Cassidy Santaguida, who said, quote, I have not seen any evidence to verify the truth of these messages, but I alerted the New Hanover County Democrat Party chair of these accusations on Tuesday afternoon and have no further knowledge about it. I have run an honest, transparent campaign focused on issues affecting the residents of Wilmington. I'll continue to focus on the needs of our city, and I trust that law enforcement and the North Carolina State Board of Elections will investigate the legitimacy of these allegations. That coming in from Cassidy Santaguida, a Democrat running for Wilmington City Council. Luke Waddell, who is a current Republican on the City Council running for re-election, put this statement out on his Facebook on Friday saying, election fraud is a serious allegation. If these allegations are deemed to be true, the guilty parties should be prosecuted. My understanding is that both the state and local authorities are aware of this matter and are conducting an investigation. Election integrity is the cornerstone of public trust, and every credible concern should be reviewed thoroughly to ensure the confidence in our democratic process. Earlier today, I retained legal counsel to closely monitor this situation, and my campaign will aggressively pursue all legal remedies if evidence is found to support these claims. Great response there from Councilman Luke Waddell, saying again, these are allegations. And what happens with allegations? Well, somebody tries to determine, in this case, it will be the North Carolina State Board of Elections. They could bring in other parties. You could see the North Carolina AG and Jeff Jackson getting involved to determine whether these allegations are true or not. Plain and simple. That is kind of what you would expect with, again, allegations. Kelly Roberts, who is a Republican candidate running for a city council, said, quote, as a veteran and someone who works in cybersecurity, I've dealt with plenty of bad actors who use technology to bribe and scam individuals. It's a shame that we are seeing this happen in our community with local elections. Thank you to the NCGOP for bringing this to light. Good response there from Kelly Roberts as well. State Auditor Dave Bolick took to social media to comment on this on Friday as well. The state auditor, who is relatively close to this issue now, as the Board of Elections and some of the appointment authority over the Board of Elections was recently transferred from the governor to the state auditor in Dave Bolick. He put this post out on X saying, quote, I've had communications with the State Board of Election leadership on this concerning news out of New Hanover County. Our office will provide any additional resources or assistance needed to thoroughly investigate this matter. We will hold any bad actors accountable and give voters confidence in our election. So that is the official comment there from State Auditor Dave Bolick on his official X account in response to, again, this alleged cash for vote scheme that is that could have been and could very well be taking place as early as tomorrow within the city council elections. So where do we go from here? Well, the elections are going to happen tomorrow. There is no early voting. There was no early voting yesterday on Sunday. No early voting today on Monday. The last day was Saturday. But tomorrow morning, Election Day will take place. 27 precincts will have election or will have be open for voting across the city of Wilmington and some of our other municipalities. That includes Caroline and Curie Beach, Wrightsville Beach as well. 27 voting locations will be open for 13 hours tomorrow for individuals to vote, and we will see the results. And regardless of what the results are, whether Democrats win or Republicans win, you would imagine that behind the scenes in the coming days, weeks, and months, the State Board of Elections and potentially other groups and entities will continue their investigation, will continue their work behind the scenes to figure out exactly what was going on here, to figure out are some of these allegations accurate? Did somebody send these text messages to try and get a couple of votes in behalf of Democrats, or was this whole thing made up? The verdict is very much out at this point, and it's just very interesting to see the different reaction between Republican and Democrats in response to this. And of course, you know, this is something that is the alleged text messages here are something that, yes, do not paint Democrats in a very good light. I mean, you've got these text messages telling individuals, or at least one individual, as we're aware of, to go out and vote for Democrats and receive $100 per vote for three Democrats running for city council. So it obviously doesn't paint the Democrats very well. So you can understand some level of being defensive on what's going on. But to call it a farce right off the bat, to claim that only one person received these messages when you have absolutely no way to know whether that's true or not, to claim that you have not seen any evidence to back up these claims, what sort of evidence are you looking for? I mean, what do you need to see? You need to see somebody standing in front of the Northeast Library or the New Hanover County Senior Center with a briefcase full of $100 bills to understand and believe that this is happening? I mean, you've got questions and concerns every single election about integrity, about election integrity and whether elections are free and fair. And so these are being investigated, and it is just very interesting to see the immediate, like, kind of knee-jerk reaction from those on the political left, who should really say nothing more than what you heard from the Republican Party, which was, these allegations are very serious, they are being investigated, and we look forward to getting to the end of it. Instead, you've got the local Democrat Party saying that this is proving that the GOP is extremism, and the GOP's extremism and desperation before the election. Extremism. What's extreme here? That somebody submitted and provided information to the North Carolina Republican Party that shows an alleged cash for vote scheme? What part of this here is extremism? Now, again, you can argue that these claims are complete BS. You can argue that these text messages were manufactured, that they're not real. Sure. But nobody at this point in time can say that definitively one way or the other. I can't say that. The Democrat Party can't say that. The Republican Party can't say that, which is why they called this an alleged cash for vote scheme, because there is not a single person outside of the individual who sent the text message and the individual who received the one individual message that we're aware of that can prove one way or the other that this is either widespread or not, or whether this is legitimate or not. There's literally not another party, and there's another party that can do so. And it sure as hell is not the local Democrat Party that has no information on this whatsoever, at least from what we're being told publicly. So if this is true, it is very concerning. And I'm glad that the state Republican Party turned this information over to the state board for them to investigate. I'm glad that this process is playing out. I guess Democrats are probably pissed off on the fact that the state GOP put out a press release about this, which I get doesn't paint them in a great light, so they don't want this information out there. The response is just very interesting. The response is one that is very concerning is not the right word to use. It just kind of goes to show you the continued lack of situational awareness from the Democrat Party. I mean, even in the headline here, the New Hanover County Democrat Party slams both election fraud and the NCGOP's desperate political stunt. Political stunt? I mean, unless you're indicating that Jason Simmons, who is the chairman of the state Republican Party, completely manufactured this to put out a press release, don't know how you would call it a political stunt. They received information. They passed the information on, because the North Carolina Republican Party is not the FBI. They're not a law enforcement agency. I mean, if you send them some screenshots of some text messages, what can they do to investigate it? They're not a law enforcement agency. They're not an official member of state government. The Republican Party, just like the Democrat Party, doesn't run elections. They are affiliated political parties. They have candidates. What is there for them to do? Just sit on it, wait, see what the results of the election are, and then provide this information to the State Board of Elections? I mean, it's just, I'm not sure what the path is supposed to be here. And there's some good comments coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning saying there's nutballs in both parties. Absolutely. And that's why I'm saying there is, you know, equal percentage chances that this is either completely made up in nonsense or it's completely true. Nobody at this point in time, as we sit here and talk one day before election day, there is not at this point in time a single entity that can say for certain with 100% fact that this did officially or did not officially happen. There's just no way to know that at this point. It is a concern when you see something like this. If it is, in fact, manufactured and made up, you could imagine a situation where the individual who made up these text messages or was involved in sending these text messages could face potentially some legal prosecution. I don't know exactly what the general statute would be or what the law would be, but if you're manufacturing the potential voter integrity issues, that is something that absolutely you could see the attorney general or other another law enforcement agency pursuing charges in. And I would absolutely be in favor of that. I mean, it's bad enough. Excuse me, if you have an actual pay-for-vote scheme, it's another situation when you've got somebody that would willfully make something up, that would willfully provide false information to the Republican or Democrat Party, then is then transmitted to the North Carolina State Board of Elections. I mean, that is a major, major problem that is propagated in elections all across the country. These things do, in fact, need to be investigated. Hopefully, the state board and law enforcement can get to the bottom of this and figure out whether this is true or not. If it's true, I don't know what that means for the city council elections. Obviously, they will be said and done at that point. I don't know what that process will look like. And if they're false, I would hopefully, and I would encourage law enforcement to prosecute, to go after and pursue charges against an individual that would make this up. I mean, you're falsifying a report of an election of something that is a felony, which would be paying somebody to vote for a specific candidate or a set of candidates. That is in itself is a very serious problem. My takeaway on this is you've got a lot of individuals on social media making the unemphatic statement that this is complete and total bullshit, that, oh, this is completely made up. You can tell. I don't know how anybody can say that at this point in time. I don't know how anybody can make the 100% certain statement that this is complete fraud and made up. I just don't know. Now, you can assume it's made up. You can be of the opinion, you can be of the mindset that this is made up. But there is, again, I don't believe at this point in time, as early into this as we are, I don't know that anybody can emphatically say 100% without a doubt these are either verified text messages and there is a pay-for-vote scheme going on, or that this is manufactured and there's no truth in what's being said at all. I'm not sure, again, that anybody can make that point one way or the other right now. So we wait and see. We watch the process roll out. Disappointing to see some of the reaction coming in from Democrat groups saying that this is a complete farce, that this is this shows the extreme nature of the Republican Party. I don't know how any of those statements can be made at this point in time either. So we wait and see. Election day's tomorrow, 13 hours of voting, 27 voting locations across New Hanover County. Democrats have a great opportunity to have a complete and total majority on the Wilmington City Council with three seats being up. Only one Republican running for re-election. That is Luke Waddell. You've got two other Republicans on the ballot, Richard Collier and Kelly Roberts in the mayoral race, a three-way race, two Democrats, one Republican, longest serving mayor of Wilmington, Bill Saffo, former New Hanover County Commissioner Jonathan Barfield, who's been involved in local politics almost his entire life, and the Republican candidate and Billy Craig, who I will note once again, I have no relation to at all, just happen to have the same last name. So there's a lot going on here with this and a lot of questions that are being asked. A great question coming in our Rumble live chat this morning. If true, does the Democrat Party have the cash for $300 a ballot, or is it dark Soros money? Wilmington is a target to turn totally blue. It's a great question. Let me make sure I'm clear on my point here. I don't think that the local Democrat Party has any involvement in this at all. I don't even believe that any of the local Democrat candidates have any involvement in this at all. If these text messages do end up turning out to be true, I would suspect that it is some outside group, and there's plenty of them, or not an outside group, but some sort of unaffiliated group, and there are plenty of them in Wilmington that are consistently pushing left-wing causes. I mean, Christ, you have a local chapter of the Democrat Socialists of America that exist in Wilmington. You've got plenty of other groups that put on these events like the No King's Day protest, put on all of these left-wing events that take place, you know, protests in front of the school board meeting, some protests in front of the city council meeting, the new Hanover County Board of Commission meetings. It's one of those groups. The question is, where would the money be coming from? Yes, some sort of Soros-aligned or affiliated group would probably be one of the first places you would look. These Democrat groups that you see all of these protests that take place throughout the country. Look at the No King's Day thing just a couple of weeks ago. Who paid for all the signs? Who went to a print shop and ordered millions of signs? Now, the political signs that you hold up, those aren't cheap to produce. Somebody's funding that. Somebody's paying for it, and it's these left-wing activist groups. They've got money. They get funneled a lot of money. A lot of it, I think, used to come from USAID and some of these other entities and organizations. So, yes, let me make sure I'm clear. I don't believe that the local Democrat Party or any local Democrat candidates are involved in this. But if it's true, there's no doubt about it that it is one of these local left-wing activist groups that you see out on the streets, out at No King's Day, out protesting the inhumane camping ordinance at the Wilmington City Council meeting. I mean, it's one of these left-wing groups, no question about it. So it is now in the hands of the North Carolina State Board of Elections. We will watch the process unfold. We will see what comes of this in the coming days and weeks. And as we learn information, obviously, because there's such a strong local tie here, we'll pass along any of the additional details or coverage as soon as we get them. Continue to keep you up to date with those here on the show and on my social media channels as well. I was able to publish this on X shortly after we got off the airwaves on Friday morning. You can follow me over there at Nicholas M. Craig. We will grab a quick break. We'll hear a final word from Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell ahead of Election Day tomorrow. We will grab a quick break and return as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Monday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Luke Waddell, and I'm running for re-election to Wilmington City Council. 4 years ago, I promised strong, principled leadership. Leadership focused on public safety, infrastructure, and fiscal responsibility. I have worked every day to deliver on that promise, voting against unnecessary tax increases and wasteful spending while strongly supporting our police and fire departments. I'm ready to continue working for you. Please go to the polls and vote Luke Waddell for Wilmington City Council. Thank you.
Paid for by committee to elect Luke Waddell.
And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show as we continue to track the government shutdown in Washington, D.C. 34 days we have crossed that mark. The government has officially been shut down for 33 days, 8 hours, and 41 minutes as we continue to track progress out of Washington, D.C. The United States Senate will, as you can imagine, be back throughout the day today. We'll see. Democrats have voted at this point 13 times to keep the government closed. A big controversy late last week that we talked about was how SNAP benefits were going to stop, at least in part, on Saturday. That has caused a frenzy on social media, a frenzy in the courts as it relates to these SNAP benefits, and a U.S. judge ruled on Friday that food stamp benefits cannot be suspended over the shutdown, which is interesting. If you know, SNAP is out of money and does not have the funds to continue providing the benefits. I'm not sure how a judge believes that they can require that, but that's what's going on here. Democrats and Republicans obviously blaming each other on this on Friday. Judges in Massachusetts and in Rhode Island ruled that SNAP benefits could not be cut. One of the U.S. District judges in John McConnell in Providence, Rhode Island, said, quote, "There is no doubt and it is beyond argument that irreparable harm will begin to occur if it hasn't already occurred in the terror it has caused some people about the availability of funding for food and for their families." U.S. District Judge Irana Tulwana in Boston similarly ruled that, quote, the suspension of SNAP payments was based on an erroneous conclusion that contingency funds could not be used to ensure the continuation of SNAP payments. Both of the judges were appointed by former President Joe Biden. No surprise there. President Donald Trump responded to the rulings in a Truth Social post saying, quote, our government lawyers do not think we have legal authority to pay SNAP with certain monies we have available. And now two courts have issued conflicting opinions on what we can and cannot do. I do not want Americans to go hungry just because the radical Democrats refuse to do the right thing and reopen the government. Therefore, I have instructed our lawyers to ask the court to clarify how we can legally fund SNAP as soon as possible. He went on to blame Democrats for the shutdown and called on Americans to pressure Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York to reopen the government, saying, quote, if we are given the appropriate legal direction by the court, it will be my honor to provide the funding, just like I did with military and law enforcement pay. Around 42 million Americans depend on the SNAP program for food aid, and polling shows that far more Americans blame Democrats for the shutdown than during the first government shutdown during Trump's first term back in 2018. Trump concluded his comments by saying, if you use SNAP benefits, call Senate Democrats and tell them to reopen the government now. And, you know, this is a pretty interesting one and quite ironic for those on the left. Because they will always claim, and you've heard this a million times before, that Donald Trump is an authoritarian dictator, that he does not believe in the rule of law. He does not believe in following the legal process that is set out. He does not believe in following the law and any sort of norms. And he just does whatever he wants because he's a king, right? That's why we have no King's Day protests like a couple of times a month, because we're rebelling against the king that is the duly elected president of the United States. So in this case, you've got lawyers for the federal government saying, we do not believe that we have the authority to use these contingency funds to continue to pay out SNAP benefits, which seemingly would make sense. When you have money that is authorized through Congress, most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, it has very clear benchmarks and guidelines as to how and where that money can be used. And if it is not explicitly allowed to be used for something, then if you use it for a said purpose that is outside of the way in which it was appropriated by Congress, you open the floodgates for litigation. So over the next couple of days, it is going to be very much incumbent on these two judges, one in Rhode Island, the other in Massachusetts, to lay out the case to the federal government as to how these funds can be used. Right? It's one thing for the judges just to say, oh, well, you can't cut off SNAP. It will have irreparable harm. Yeah, no question about that. If people stop having money for food, that is a problem. I am in full agreement with that. The question, question though, is a very simple one. If SNAP has run out of its traditional appropriations, which now the government being shut down 33 days, it has. If SNAP has run out of money, where is that money supposed to come from? And if in fact the courts want to say you can use these additional monies that are set aside in contingency, that's fine, but the judges need to lay that argument out. Because we're hearing from the administration that the money that is set aside cannot be used to pay SNAP benefits. So if judges want to say you can use that money, fine. Then as the president noted in his commentary, I will do so. It will be my honor to provide the funding, but I need the appropriate legal direction by the courts to do so. And so these judges have, I would imagine, just a couple of days to tell the administration how exactly they're able to use these funds. And if and when the judges do that, and if it is something that the administration says is legally sound, they will do it. Because you can imagine the other side of the coin on this. The administration uses monies that are not solely obligated for SNAP, and what's going to happen? You will see Democrat groups suing the administration, as we've seen, for using money that they weren't supposed to fund a program. And the irony, of course, in all of this is that this problem can literally be solved with the snap of a finger. Yes, no pun intended. If Democrats in the United States Senate would vote for the clean continuing resolution, SNAP would immediately have the money that they need to continue to provide benefits. But as we have seen over the last 33 days, Democrats in the United States Senate are not interested in doing that. They are interested in rehashing, relitigating the one big beautiful bill, which was passed by the Republican-led House and Senate, signed in by President Donald Trump in July of this year. They want to fund and give more free health care to illegal immigrants. They want to refund USAID. They want to give a bunch of money back to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting so that NPR and PBS can get all of their money back, which, by the way, almost all of those stations have made up the funds that they were losing from the federal government in terms of fundraising drives. So Democrats are trying to rehash and relitigate legislation that has been passed and has been signed into law for months now, and that is why the government is closed. So if Democrats are so concerned about SNAP, if Democrats are so concerned about people not being able to put food on their table, then they should just vote to reopen the freaking government. I mean, it is not, to me, a very complicated issue here. Now, for them, it is, because they have to resist. They have to stand up against this administration. But the fact of the matter is, for the next 12 months, they aren't going to be able to do that. Democrats do not have majorities in Washington, D.C. The American voting population all across the country gave Republicans control of the Oval Office, gave Republicans 54 votes or 55 votes in the United States House, which is a majority, and a majority in the United States House and Senate. So Democrats don't have any leverage here. They don't have any bargaining chips. They don't have any pressure, or they don't have anything that they can lean on and force Republicans to move on. They are the party in the minority. And when you are in the minority, for example, as Republicans are right now in the city of Wilmington, most of the time, you don't get what you want. Does it suck? Yeah. Do you like the way that that feels? No, probably not. But it's the fact in the matter of politics. The party that is in charge gets to govern, gets to lead. And in the case of the city of Wilmington, Democrats are in charge. They get to lead. And what's the result? Well, you're seeing your taxes go up. You see all of this outrage over homeless individuals smoking crack in the middle of the road and urinating and defecating on people's front of their shops on Front Street in downtown, and how it's outrageous that the single Republican on the Wilmington City Council running for re-election, Luke Waddell, wants to try and find a solution to that problem. But Democrats are the ones in control, so they get to govern, they get to lead. Now you look up at Washington, D.C., it's flipped around. Republicans are in the majority. Republicans are in control. They get to govern, they get to lead. There's questions about the nuclear option, getting rid of the filibuster. We saw the president late last week tell Senate Republicans that it's time to do that. Not sure that that's necessarily the best idea. And so the government shutdown continues. Here we are 34 days in. And it's going to be interesting to see what these judges lay out. But let's be perfectly clear about this. Let's say that these judges from Rhode Island and Massachusetts say, here's the legal authority that you can use to pay out this money. Okay, great. So what happens in 2 weeks when those contingency funds are gone? Because the estimates are what is available at contingency is 2 to 3 weeks worth of SNAP benefits. So when that money's gone in 2 weeks, then what? Then there's no additional monies to pull from. There's no contingency. There's no savings account at that point. What is the solution then? This is a Band-Aid to a longer-term problem, which is Democrats don't want to reopen the government. Democrats, in an attempt to relitigate what happened back in June and July of this year, have held the government hostage for the last 34 days, seemingly with no end in sight. So you can get your SNAP benefits if these judges are able to make their case and make their point. You'll get your SNAP benefits for another 2 or 3 weeks. Then what? Because Democrats seemingly aren't going to have a magical epiphany and reopen the government. They've been holding the line pretty strongly on this for the better part of, or for well over a month at this point. So what is your plan come mid-November? What is your plan come late November when all of that contingency money is gone? Then what? That you're going to sue the administration again for not providing SNAP benefits? You're going to sue the USDA again for not providing SNAP benefits when you pissed away all the contingency money because you didn't want to reopen the government? You kept the federal government closed because you lost in November of 2024? That's what this is all about. Democrats still haven't gotten over the election loss. They still haven't gotten over the fact that the American people rejected Kamala Harris. They rejected Democrats at the national level, all the way, all up and down. Trump won 7 of 7 swing states. They had a terrible showing in November. And so now we're going to rehash, now we're going to relitigate all of this come, you know, literally a year after the election. Don't really understand the game plan with all of this, but we'll watch it. We'll see what happens, and we'll see what these two judges have to say and what the administration's response is, whether they do or do not have the legal authority to use some of these contingent funds. So again, Election Day rolls around tomorrow. We'll have some coverage of that coming up tomorrow morning, and a special live stream tomorrow night that will be airing on our YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook channels. Tune in sometime between 8 and 8:30 when we start getting some election results in. We'll look at what's going on, of course, across the city of Wilmington, New Hanover County, some of our other counties in southeastern North Carolina. We'll look at what's going on in Charlotte. Some pretty big elections there as well. Virginia's got some interesting elections. Of course, everybody is keeping an eye on what's going to happen in New York City, as it is seemingly a done deal at this point that Zohran Mamdani, who is a self-described, unabashed socialist, Marxist, communist, is going to be the next mayor of New York City. A lot that we'll be tracking. We'll have that coverage coming up for you tomorrow night between 8 and 8:30 on our live channels at YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. The show is only possible thanks to our great advertisers. That includes the law group here in Wilmington. Melissa Gott and her team, visit them online, 910-251-6088, or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The Nick Craig Show streams live weekday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and is available 24/7 in your favorite podcast app. We'll do it again tomorrow morning right here on The Nick Craig Show.